you're here visiting today and you don't have a Bible with you, we have some extras in the back. That way you could follow along with us this morning in the Scriptures. Anyone here need a Bible today? All right. It's on its way right now. It's coming to you. All right, right there. Anybody else need a Bible this morning? All right. Thank you to our musicians. All right, at this time we're going to have Brother Don Riley. And I think this morning is going to be the first time I hear you preach, brother. I've heard good things about you, so I'm sure it's going to be a blessing this morning. And you give the Word of God your undivided attention this morning, all right? All right, brother, come ahead. Thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. You got me on. Well, it's a good crowd this morning. Amen. I know none of you know me, so I'll tell you about me a little bit, and then we'll talk about Jesus. Amen. My name's Don Riley. I have the Ministry of Helps, and this dear woman with me is my wife, Martha. She has a ministry to help me. Amen. And that's quite a chore sometimes. We started this ministry back in 1990. I was pastoring a church in Missouri, and the Lord dealt with me, my heart about the life of Paul, and I resigned that church and surrendered to go full-time with the Lord in the Ministry of Helps. And I just like helping people. Anybody need any help this morning? Amen. I found a lot of preachers need help. Amen. And so that's what I do. I travel around all over the country, and I haven't been to any foreign fields yet, but I'm planning to someday. But I help them with their building programs. I usually get them a metal building at cost and then go and put it up for a love offering. And it depends on how much they love me, amen? And some do and some don't. But that's all right. The Lord loves me, and that takes care of it all, amen? And we raised three boys on the road. Those three boys are, well, the one is a prodigal, and I wish you all continue to pray for him. And he's a deputy sheriff in Alabama, so if you go through there and you get stopped, maybe it's him. Amen. You can witness to him. Tell him his daddy's still praying for him. The other two, one's working for the other one, and he's a general contractor in Searcy, Arkansas, which is where my home church is. And so that takes care of me. Amen. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, we'll give you what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. When you find your place, would you stand in reverence to the Word of God one more time? Stretch a little bit. They did it in Nehemiah's day. They stood half a day, read out of the Word of God. And they stood another half a day and confessed sin. We won't do that part this morning. But it's needful nowadays, amen? But it is good to be here with you folks. I've stopped in your parking lot a lot of times, but I've just never, I've came to church here once, I think. And nobody knew me anyway, so it didn't matter. I just sat in there and listened and left, amen? So pray for me as I travel on to Brother Joe Camilleri and Jay Folks Church up in north part of New York, be up there preaching. So I covet your prayers. Amen. It says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about, with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and cardinal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Then I like this. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're here this morning in need of your presence, in need of your, Holy Spirit to speak among us. Lord, to take this message out of your word and use it for your honor and glory. I pray you take this vessel, Lord, what it is, and use it for your honor and glory. I pray you'd use this mouth to preach your word. Lord, use these feet to spread the gospel, the good news. And Lord, I just praise you for this opportunity, again, to speak your word to people here that might be lost. I pray if there is one lost, they'll be saved before it's eternally too late. And if there's one here, Lord, that's backslidden away from you, I pray that you'd woo them back to Calvary as only you can and show them what you've done for them again all over. And we'll praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. May you get all the glory and honor out of everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Man, I feel pretty tall standing up here in this little thing here, you know. Amen. It's funny the different size of pulpit you have, you know, to preach from. But I feel pretty good up here. Maybe the Lord will use this. Amen. You notice there in Hebrews chapter 9, it's talking about the high priest and about the tabernacle and the holiest of holies and how the high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice once a year into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Well, I'd like to share with you about the blood, first of all, in Leviticus chapter 17, if you'll turn there, if you will. Leviticus chapter 17. We'll go back to the law for a minute. In Leviticus chapter 17, and I don't never give the verse until I get there. Amen. That just helped there. You know, you can't go ahead of me that way. Amen. Leviticus chapter 17. By the way, I don't like liver. I don't care if you do or not, but I'm going to show you why right here. It says here in verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Look down verse 14. "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." So you need to quit eating that liver. That's even worse than eating a bloody steak, because the liver is the filter of the blood. That's where it takes all the bad stuff that's in your body, that flows through your body in the blood, and it filters it out, and then you take and eat it. That's terrible. I hope none of you like liver and onions, because that ain't helping you none, is it? And people get upset with me sometimes when I tell them that's the only thing I won't eat. I'm a missionary. I've learned to eat anything. I've been down to Louisiana and ate all about everything, some things I didn't even know what it was. But I'm not eating the blood, amen, because he said not to, and I don't want to, amen. So, and I'm going to show you why this morning, because the blood is real important in the Bible. It's what saved you. You were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from sin. Now, if you will for a minute, let me picture. Well, he died on the cross Well, let me back up farther than that. I don't know how much time we got, but I could preach all day. It'd be a blessing to some. Amen. Before that, let's back up all the way to his birth, you see, because the scientists of today teach us that the blood is transferred from the father or from the husband to the child. Amen. It's not the woman's blood, it's the father's blood. And so we know that because Mary was a virgin. Amen. And so the blood that was transferred to Jesus Christ was from the Holy Spirit or from the Father. Amen. And so he was God even then. All right. And so the blood that he had, and I'm going to tell you more about this here in just a minute, and you'll understand why I'm going back that far. But the blood that he had was not like our blood. Amen. If you cut your hand or something, your blood will coagulate. And what it'll do, it'll create a crust there, and it'll heal. Amen? Because all the blood rushes to that place that's damaged, and it repairs it. Well, Jesus Christ, when he bled on the cross of Calvary, his blood did not coagulate. Because it's royal blood. Amen? It's God's blood. That's where it came from. It came from God the Father. On down through through Mary, yes, but it was the blood that we're concerned about this morning, all right? And so that blood didn't coagulate. So what happened was when he died on the cross, when he shed his blood, all that blood went into the earth, but it didn't stay there. Because you see here in Hebrews chapter 9, when he went to heaven, he took it with him. He took it with him, and you say, well, how did he do that? I don't know. I'll let you figure that out. All I know is he had it when he got there. Amen. And I do know this, that when they come to the tomb to check it out and see if he was still there, when they got there, they saw what they thought was a gardener the first time, and then they realized it was Jesus. And Jesus told Mary there, Mary Magdalene, told her, said, don't touch me because I haven't yet ascended to the Father. And so he didn't want her to touch him because he had the atonement sacrifice for your sin and my sin with him at the time. And he hadn't gone and done this priestly office of the Holy of Holies yet. He hadn't taken his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat yet. But he was going to do that. And you see there, he says the Holy Ghost is signifying, verse 8 of Hebrews 9, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. But Jesus was the high priest of the second tabernacle, which is the one, or actually is the original, which is the one in heaven. And I hope I'm not confusing y'all. I know I talk like a hillbilly, and you can't understand my talk very much, so I could either slow down a little bit or you could just speed it up a little bit. Amen? But there's a lot of background here I'm trying to get to you before I ever give to the message. And the message is about the blood, all right? And the blood there is so important because Jesus was not defiled, and he took that blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. So when you cry out for mercy, you are put underneath the mercy seat. Amen? When God looks down on you, he don't see you as a sinner anymore. After you've come to have mercy, you ask him to have mercy on your wretched soul. You ask him to come in your heart and save you. He created something. He put you under the mercy seat. So when Jesus sprinkled the blood he had as a sacrifice on the mercy seat, when he sprinkled it there, it covered your sin. Now, my wife's wearing a red blouse. And I appreciate that this morning. It kind of helped with the message. Because if we were to turn off all these white fluorescent lights and put red lights in their place, my wife would be probably the only one in here with a white blouse on. You say, why is that? And I said, well, because red, when you look through a red object at another red object, that second red object turns white. Now, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. But I'm not. In fact, you can do this experiment yourself. When I was an old drunkard and a lost sinner, I remembered seeing something that amazed me one night when I was at a party underneath the red lights, what they call them, the infrared lights. I used to smoke. I hope some of you don't now, but I did when I was a sinner. Amen. And I'd puff on that cigarette, and I looked, and I noticed there's something strange about the end of the cigarette. It was white, and I couldn't understand that. And now I understand it, now that I'm saved, and I know what the Bible says. Because in Isaiah 1:18, he said, "Come, let us reason together, though our sins be as scarlet." Your sin ain't black, it's red. He said, "Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool." So you see, when God looks at you, He's looking through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He don't see you as a red sinner. He sees you as a white, perfect, white sample of holiness. Amen? That's why it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Then let me say something else here. Because not only is it the blood that cleanses us from all sin, but scientists tell us the blood is what cleanses our body on the inside. Amen? The washing of the water cleanses the outside. You took a shower, you're clean on the outside, maybe. Amen? Depends on what water you use nowadays. But the same thing with the preaching. The preaching don't always get to the inside, but it should clean up the outside. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, he said the washing of the water of the word cleanses the church. And so we know that the water cleanses the outside. But it's the blood that cleanses the inside of your body. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if the blood's what cleanses our body from within, guess what? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, that cleanses your spiritual body within. Amen? When God sees you, you're white as snow. But when Jesus sees you, He sees you as you are. Amen. I know you didn't like that part of it, but that's a fact. Amen? And the judgment seat of Christ is coming up pretty quick. Amen? And so, but he sees you as you are, and He does this interceding for us, and He does this cleansing for us by His own blood. Now, as I said before, the blood is passed from the father down through to the child by the husband. Amen. And that's true. Amen. You all get that part? What's the same happened spiritually, see? As I walk through this life, my spiritual body has the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through it. That's why He's in me, the hope of glory. Amen? And so, spiritually speaking, I'm walking with Him, and He's walking with me. Do you know you're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Did you know that everywhere you go, He goes? Everything that you do, He does. Everything you look at, He looks at. Everything you say, He said. Y'all still with me, aren't you? You're dying out on me. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Now, if that's the case, the blood is holy, right? His blood is pure. It's as holy as it was the day He shed it on the cross of Calvary. It's as pure and clean then. And if it's what cleanses His church or His Christians, if that same blood is what cleanses the Christians, then I ask you this. Why aren't we clean? Amen? Why do we keep sinning? I'm the only one that does that. Huh? I mean, why is the church in such a shape nowadays? It seems like it's anemic. It don't have the power that it used to have when it first started. You know, they preached and 2,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved. We don't have that power today. Why is that? The blood's still holy. The blood's still flowing through our spiritual body. The blood still has the power to save. The blood still has the power to cleanse from sin. Yes. Then what's the problem? I figured it out. It's not the blood. We know that. So it's got to be something else. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 21, I'll wait till the pages quit flipping. I know some of you are there. And it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And I thought about that, and I said, well, there's the answer right there. I know this is talking about an earthen vessel. But I found out that a vessel is anything that carries something in it. It's hollow on the inside, and it carries a substance inside it. And so I applied that not only to the earthen vessels, which we are, but it's a blood vessel. And that's the problem that the church is having today. And that's the problem it seems like the world's having today. So as you see, so goes the world, it seems like so goes the church. Amen? The world seems to be concerned about all these medical problems. And we heard a bunch of them this morning. Pray for this, pray for that. You know, we got people having brain surgeries and don't know what they ought to do. And all this stuff's going on in the world. But that's also going on spiritually in the church. So if the world's concerned about their vessels, shouldn't the church also be concerned? Amen? You know, what I'm getting at is this. The world here about 25 or 30 years ago, it seemed like, all of a sudden they come up with this cholesterol problem. And everything is geared toward that today. Everything. Every advertisement you see is, how's your cholesterol? Huh? I didn't even know there was such a thing till 30 years ago, or even less than that. But then I found out about 10 years ago, I had it too. And probably so do you. And you don't know, but it's in there, amen? And you know what that cholesterol, they say, is? It's the fatty tissue adhering to your vessels. You remember I said, so goes the world, so goes the church? That's what's the problem with the church. We're worried about our blood vessels in the world. We ought to be worried about our blood vessels in the church, because the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses us from all sin. But the church is anemic, and the church is hurting, and the church has cholesterol problems. Amen? What I mean by that is, they sucked in all the fat of the world, and they don't do no exercise with it to get rid of it. Amen? And as so goes the world, so goes the church. So the world tells you, you need to have more exercise, you need to eat lean meat. Well, that's the way the church ought to do. You ought to exercise more. Amen? And you ought to eat a little leaner food. Amen? Quit eating all that fat the world offers you. Try to eat some of the King James Bible more often. Amen? I guarantee your cholesterol will go way down if you eat this King James Bible every day. Amen? And if you'll pray every day, that King James Bible right there, it'll not only that, but it'll cut all that old cholesterol out. Amen? It'll get all that out. But most of us, we watch that one-eyed glass toilet in our living room, and that's where most of the cholesterol comes from. Amen? We don't do things according to what the Bible says we ought to do. We do them according to what this world says we ought to do. You ever say, thus saith the Lord, and hear Him? Amen. So we have cholesterol problems in the church, spiritually speaking also. The church has gone to the world so much that it can't hardly even motivate anything. It has no power in the world. It has no power against sin anymore, it seems like. Amen? It seems like if the world's creeping into the church, guess what? We ought to creep it back out, them creeps. Amen? Amen. So that's what I'm going to preach about this morning, is the problem we have with the church. In 1 John 2:15, you can turn there. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Now, you tell me, what's a thing? That's about everything, ain't it? I mean, that covers about all of it, don't it? You say, well, there's certainly some things you like. Yeah, I like playing golf. But I tell you what, if that interferes with me serving Jesus Christ, then I ain't doing it no more. See, I found a way. You can even witness on the golf course. You get some guy up there and he misses a putt and he goes to cussing on the next. He ain't playing with me. He's on the next one. Amen. I wouldn't let him play with me. But he goes to cussing and everything. Well, I make my putt and I go, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I give God the glory. If you can't give God the glory for something, you shouldn't be doing it. Amen. I had a preacher wanted to play horse one time. You know, that's a basketball game. He said, let's play horse. And I said, no, let's play Jesus. And he said, well, I don't know about that. That's not blasphemy, ain't it? I said, then we can't play at all. If we can't put Jesus in it, you ought not be doing it. Amen. That's good English. Amen. So here he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is enmity with God. I mean, God don't like it. Y'all got that? Amen? And so there's nothing wrong with the blood, but there's sure a lot wrong with the vessels, isn't there? You know what I find else? The blood is what takes the oxygen and the nutrients that your body needs to where it's hurting. Amen? And if it's not able to do that, it causes a problem. You ever go to sleep at night? And I like to sleep with my arms above my head, you know. And, you know, put them on my pillow like that, like some of you guys do, you know. And sleep like, but then right in the middle of the night, I wake up. And my arms are hurting, and I got to put them down. You ever have that problem? You know what that's called? Poor circulation. That's what's the matter with it. You got to keep your arms down below your heart so your arteries can pump blood to it. Otherwise, they'll go to sleep on you like some of you are already. Amen. You see, that's the problem with the church is going to sleep. Amen. We're just lullabying to sleep. Why? Poor circulation. That's why. In other words, there's so much cholesterol built up in our vessels, so much of that fat from the world built up in our vessels, that we can't circulate no more. We can't pass out a gospel tract. Huh? We can't tell somebody about Jesus. That's circulation. That's getting the gospel out. But we aren't able to do that because they look at us and say, well, what's the difference? You're just like me. You look like me. You dress like me. You act like me. What's the difference? Poor circulation. That's caused from the fat of this world being sucked in to the church. Amen? And, you know, if you have so much poor circulation, after a while you'll get numb. That's what happens to your hands. They get numb. You lose the feeling. You can't feel no more. Something there, ain't there? Let's see what it is. You know, he said what happens is your arteries get hard. Look in 2 Peter. No, that's about a lot. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The Bible says here, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How would that take place? How would somebody want to depart from Jesus Christ after all that he's done for him? Well, let's look. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see what happens? You get numb. You get numb to the things of this world. Hello? You get numb to sin. I mean, it don't bother you like it used to. You know what I'm saying? When somebody told you that was sin, you said, man, I got to quit that. But then now you're still doing it, and somebody points it out to you and said, well, it's not that bad. Well, it ain't hurting nobody else. Hello, y'all there? Huh? I mean, it ain't hurting nobody. It's just me. No, it ain't just you. It's the whole world at stake because you're an influence to the world. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. But the problem is, the salt has lost its savor. It's worth nothing no more than to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. It makes a good path, but it don't go nowhere. Amen? The salt's lost its saltness. You know, they got an old cliche that says, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You can too. Oh, yes, you can. See, I used to be a farm boy. I know you can. What you do is you put your salt block down by the pond. That horse will love that salt. He'll come and lick up that salt. That salt make him thirsty. And he'll drink the water. Amen. Amen. See, that's the cliche the world's told you about. You can't make them drink it. You can take it to them, but they can't drink it. Why? Because they're not salted. That's why. The salt has lost its saltness. If you was as salty as you're supposed to be, when you take them to it, they'd want a drink of that water. They want a drink of the Word of God. Because they notice the saltness that you have. What they have most of that, I ain't going to give this a whole nother message I have, the difference between salt and sugar. You see, that's what most of the Gospels today are, sugar Gospels. And that'll make you thirsty too, but thirsty for more sugar. Amen. You don't need more sugar. You need some salt. Amen. That'll make you thirsty for the Word of God. But what happened with Lot is the same thing that's happened with us, is he was mocked because he lost his saltness. Amen. He was hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin crept in. It was just a little bit at a time. But over a period of time, it started hardening. And he started getting numb to it. Next thing you know, he's going to sleep on it. It didn't matter to him what happened. Until one day he got an awake call. Amen. And by that time, it was too late for his kids. And he barely got out. And then he messed up again. And his wife got turned back and became a pillar of salt. Amen. Amen. She'll make a lot of folks thirsty. So it's like Lot. You get hardened in your hardened arteries, and sin's what hardens the heart, and it's what hardens your vessels. And you know what else it causes? And I have this problem. Feel like I have it right now. And it causes high blood pressure. That hardened sin causes high blood pressure. You see? It causes your pressure to go up and up and up. You can see it in some people. They turn red in the face. You know, they get steam rolling out of their ears. Huh? What's the matter with them? You're preaching too hard. They're because their blood pressure's going up. Huh? How high is yours? Mine stays around 140 over 80 something. You say, that's pretty high. Well, it's been up to a lot higher, but I've calmed down. I learned to calm down a little bit. Amen? You know what I've found? A lot of people under stress. I looked this up last night, and they said that there's a vessel that runs through your body. It's a blood vessel, and inside that vessel, what it's made out of, and I forget the name of it, but because it didn't come in hillbilly, so I forgot the name of it, but it's the tissue that's around the inside of that vessel, and it said that laughter causes that tissue to dilate or to expand. That laughter does. And it says that stress causes it to contract. So if you laugh a lot, your blood will calm down. It won't be such high pressure. Amen. And you'll live a lot longer. That's what he's trying to tell you. Of course, we knew the Bible said that a long time ago. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. And so, but if you're running around stressed out all the time, and your blood pressure's so high, that's probably why. You never learn to laugh at your problems. Hello. If you learn to laugh at them, say, man, Jesus can take care of that just like that. You say, you don't know the financial stress I'm under. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I've been on deputation for 18 years now. You talking about stress? And I still don't have enough support. You'll never have enough support. Amen. But I found to just give it to Jesus. Amen. And he can take care of it. Just laugh it off. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going anyway. Amen. I want to go to Israel with you, brother. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Might leave my wife behind, but she said she wanted to go too. But I've always wanted to go. I'd love to go. And I'd almost say put me down, but I don't have the money. But Jesus does. You don't believe that? He does. Hey, I wish I had brought my motor home and let you see what he put us in. It's beautiful. You say, well, how'd you manage that, Jesus? How do you manage? Amen. Amen. That's a nice motel he put. I took pictures of it staying at the Marriott. That's what it is. And I took pictures of it and sent it back to Arkansas. They don't even know what a Marriott is. Amen. But it's just what Jesus done. He said, well, we did that. No, you didn't. All good gifts come from above. Amen. I'm glad to be able to stay at a Marriott. Amen. But that laughter is what's good for you. Just keep it up doing it. Amen. You'll see, if you don't do that, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you don't do that, this is the other side. This is what's going to happen to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. You're not spiritual enough. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? You see, what's that? That's those folks that's fixing to have an aneurysm. I mean, the blood pressure's gone up so high, and the vessel's gotten so weak. You see, an aneurysm is when that vessel has a spot on it that's real weak, and it swells. And I'm looking around to see if there's anybody swelling right now. Huh? I mean, you already didn't like what I said about the things of this world. You're already caught up in this world so much that when God has the rapture, to you it's going to be a rupture. They're going to have to rip you out of here. And that vessel's swelling so much, you're fixing to blow out of here. Amen? You're fixing to have an aneurysm, and an aneurysm is deathly. It'll kill you deader than a hammer. Amen? I know my brother died of an aneurysm. And he didn't even know he had it. He had headaches and didn't know what it was. Maybe I'm creating a headache in you. Well, it could be an aneurysm. Amen? So you better calm down a little bit. What you got to do is give extra care to that little vessel that's fixing to blow out of here. I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I don't want anybody to suffer the torments of hell for all eternity. Do you? So be careful with that person that's got that aneurysm. Try to help them. Strengthen that vessel. Amen. Clean that vessel out through the Word of God. I know preachers, they'd say, well, they laughed. They look better going than they did coming. I don't believe that. Because out there, they ain't getting no help. Amen. The only place they're going to get help is in here. Amen. And a lot of you look like you need help. And so that aneurysm's a bad thing to happen, but sometimes it happens. And you can't do nothing about it. He said they went out from us because it's not of us. Surely if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But it went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. That's in the Bible, in case you didn't know that. Amen. And then you got another problem, I notice. And that's when your blood pressure gets real high. And I've been close to this a couple of times. You have a stroke. You ever heard anybody having a stroke? Sure you have. You know what happened? Spiritually speaking, our church has had a stroke. You know what that means? That it's impaired. Maybe your whole right side won't move. You know, maybe you can't, you got to use this arm to raise that arm, huh? Maybe you can't function normal. You see, that's what the problem with the church is. It can't function like it should because it's had a stroke. You know what a stroke is? That means that this part of the brain is not able to get whatever the energy source is to get down to there to say, move. Well, the part of the brain is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. But the part down here is not listening. They want to try it their own way. They're kind of stubborn and hard-headed like we are from Missouri. They're stubborn as a Missouri mule. And they won't listen to God when He speaks to them. What's the problem? They've had a stroke. And they're walking around like this, dragging a leg, because that leg won't do what the brain says no more. Amen? Or maybe this arm here won't do what the brain says no more. It won't do what the head told you to do. I know a lot of people that God told to go on the mission field, and they didn't go. Amen. Now they're not functioning very good. What happened? They had a stroke. Boy, it sounds like a lot of people in here has had this problem. Y'all just died altogether on me. Let me look at here. I'll get you out of it. Hang on. You see, another thing that they try to say to fix this problem, we got to have a fix. You got to fix it. So they say, well, you need a bypass surgery. You ever heard of that? Two bypasses, three bypasses. Some of them had five bypasses. Well, you know what I found out? That the cross is the heart of God's program. This is strange, but everybody on the east side of the cross, I'm doing that for your sake. See, if I was like this, I'd do it like that. Everybody on, I guess, I don't know if that's east or not, but on the east side of the cross, they write from right to left. You notice that? Think about it. And everybody on the west side writes from left to right. And it's all sinners at the cross. The cross is the center or the heart of God's program. Amen? And everybody wants to bypass it. They want to have a bypass surgery of Calvinism. That bypasses the cross. Or they want to work their way to heaven. That bypasses the cross. Pray tell me, if you could gain entrance to heaven any other way except through the cross, then why did Jesus die? Why did He die? He didn't have to. If you could get there any other way through doing good, or being good, or giving you money, or anything, if you could get to heaven any other way except at the foot of the cross, then why did Jesus die? Don't make sense. You see, because that's the heart of God's program. You don't need a heart bypass. What you need is a chelation. A chelation is a term that they use to clean your blood vessels out. What they do is they pump in amino acids and stuff as that in your blood veins. And what it does, it roto-rooters your blood vessels. Cleans them out. Well, isn't that what the cross did for the church? When you came to the cross on your knees and you cried out for mercy and you saw Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time in your life, guess what? He cleaned all your sins out. He took them all away. You remember how you felt? Man, I felt great. Felt like I could run a mile and come back somehow. Amen? I felt great. But then over a period of time, we get loaded down with sin again. Well, guess what? He took them away at the cross the first time. He can do it again. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just go back to the cross and give them to Jesus Christ, and He can cleanse you just like new again. Make you feel like a brand new man. I've known a preacher. He's 82 years old. He was wore down, didn't know what to do. Most of the time he was struggling just to walk or just to stay up. And he was trying to pastor a church at 82. And he had this chelation done. And when they done that chelation on him, guess what? He felt like 40 years old again. He jumped up in the back of a truck and preached for 2.5 hours in a parade down there in Denton, Texas. He just felt like a new man. You can feel that same way this morning. Amen. If you'll let Jesus Christ meet you at the cross again, show him again what he done for you when he hung there, take your blood and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not just part of it, but all of it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He'll meet you there. And he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How about it today? Are you feeling kind of low? Are you feeling kind of run down? Your blood just not circulating. That's what's the matter. You just got overloaded. You got all that worldly junk, and it's clogging you up. You can get clean today. You can have a new vessel. Just a new vessel. Just like, if any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. You want him to use you today? Let's all stand. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know how you normally do this, but this is how I do it. Amen. Bow your head and close your eyes. Now, I don't know if you're here today lost, or if you're here today just backslidden, or you're just here today and you want to just feel more clean. But here's the altar call. Here's the time for you to come and get clean. It's the same place you got clean the first time if you're here, and it could be the first time for you today. So all you need to do is just step out of there and come down to this altar when the invitation's given and just get clean. There ain't nothing like it. Just get clean. That's the way he wants you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Won't you come to repentance today? Won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or won't you rededicate your life to him and go on one of these mission trips? I mean, you can leave today. It ain't too late. They ain't left yet. How about it, huh? How about it today? Won't you give yourself to Jesus anew? He might send you to Africa. So I don't want to go to Africa. You would if he sent you. Because you sure wouldn't want to be here if you're supposed to be in Africa. Thank you, brother.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you would. If you're here today, you know you're saved and that message spoke to your heart. Maybe that was just for you this morning. I know it spoke to my heart. You got some heart problems and some problems with your vessel. Well, you know where to get it fixed and how to get it fixed. You could come to Jesus Christ. Just come to him today and trust him to solve whatever it is that is not right in your life. Make it right this morning. I appreciate that message today. Maybe you're here today, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. That message was for me this morning. I appreciate what the Lord said to me today. God spoke to my heart this morning, and I got a need. I need the Lord's help with it this morning. Is there anyone like that here today? Just lift your hand. Anyone like that today? Child of God here today? All right, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. You know your heart, and you know what the Lord said to you this morning. And if you need to do something about it, you know you can come right now. You can come here. If you want to pray here at the front, you can do that. If you want to pray where you are in your seat, you can do that. But you do need to respond when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and he does through the preaching, through his word. If God said something to you today, then, boy, this is your opportunity right now. Let's make it right with the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you won't find a better time and a better place to get saved. Right now is the time. If you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, we can't save you. All we can do this morning is pray for you. But we would love to do that. Could we pray for you this morning? Is there anyone here this morning you'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I would appreciate your prayers. Is there anyone like that? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anyone here this morning? Maybe the Lord brought you in here today so that you could hear the gospel, you could hear about Jesus Christ. And today was the day the Spirit of God wanted to speak to your heart. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I would like you to pray for me. Pray for me this morning. Anyone like that, just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anyone at all? All right. Father, Lord God, we do thank you today for the preaching of your word. We thank you for this brother, for the message that you put on his heart this morning. What a blessing it was, Lord, to think about how you minister to our vessel. I pray, Lord, that if there's anything here today in our hearts that needs to be made right, and I'm sure there is, then, Lord, I pray every brother and sister in Christ in this place this morning, Lord, would come to you for the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Cleanse us today, Lord, and work in our hearts today, Lord. Help us to be right with you today. Father, have your way in this place this morning and in our lives this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book. We're going to sing a song. And it's not too late. If you want to just come, if there's something you need to make right with God, you want to come here and pray, or you want to pray where you are in your seat, if you need to be saved, now is a good opportunity for you to come and respond if you want to do that. But get your hymn book, and we're going to sing one song together, and we will be dismissed. But if you need to do something with the Lord this morning, please don't leave this place until it's right with God.
166 in your hymnal.
166.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide.
Let's hold it there just a second. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Have you got a heart problem this morning? Anything wrong in your vessel this morning? That's a good message, man. That's some things to think about there. Spiritual cholesterol. Spiritual high blood pressure. I don't think we're going to forget this message. Spiritual stroke. I think a stroke is usually the result of a clot, isn't it? It's something that's not supposed to be in the vessel. And it can go to the brain. And it can kill you. Letting something in your vessel that shouldn't be there. Putting something there that's not supposed to be there. A blockage. And it will kill you spiritually. There are a lot of things that can do that to you. And maybe that's a problem this morning. Maybe some of you today, you know, you're not happy. You don't have the joy of the Lord. You're walking around with a guilty conscience. You know there's things in your life that shouldn't be there. The preaching makes you bristle sometimes. You're just looking to get out of here and go on with what you had planned for today. You know, I was thinking about it this morning in the prayer room. Many times, and I'll admit, me too, I've come to church, maybe you have too, a little spiritually unprepared. You ever been that way? Get up in the morning, rushing around, just trying to get out on time and get here and not really ready, not prepared for the Spirit of God to speak to you and give you something. And I thought this morning how the Lord never comes that way. Do you know that He came prepared this morning? He was ready in advance to do something here today in everybody's life. He came prepared to give us something this morning. And I wonder how many Sunday mornings we've missed what He came prepared to give us. And I don't know what it was that you needed this morning. The message blessed me and spoke to me about some things. But every time we get together like this, we are not just having church. We came together for God to deal with us individually. We came together for God to have this little time in our life today to have our undivided attention to minister to our heart and deal with us. Man, that's really the biggest insult that we could ever give to God, is to come here and then just walk out as if the Lord wasn't here. He was here. He came prepared. And if He spoke to your heart about something, do not leave this room. Let's not leave this room until we make it right with God. Now, you know how we are here. I don't necessarily believe that business with God has to be done here at any spot in this room, whether it's here, in the back, in the car, in your seat. But one thing's got to happen, and that is you've got to respond to the Spirit of God. You've got to respond to Him, and you've got to let the Lord know, Lord, I heard You this morning. I heard You. Help me. Make it right. Get me right. Get me clean. I don't want to walk out of here as if I didn't hear. I don't want to walk out of here as if You weren't here, Lord. Let's not do that. Let's not grieve the Spirit of God. Now, if you needed to respond this morning in some way, I'm urging you today in Jesus' name that you will do that. Let's make it right with God. Let's bless Him this morning. We bless Him when we acknowledge that, Lord, I heard You. I heard You, Lord. We're going to sing one more verse. And if you need to do anything this morning, you may come, absolutely, if you want to here. If you need to be saved, you can come and speak to me after the service. If you've got something you need to talk to me about or someone here and pray with, then you can do that. This is the time and the place to do that. We're going to sing one more verse, and then we're going to go. If you have nothing else to respond about, then we're going to go home after this verse. Let's sing that last one together.
Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee.
That's right.
Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank You this morning for Your word, for the fellowship that we can have together. If someone is going out of here, Lord, with something still unresolved this morning, Lord God, I pray that You would help them this morning. Help them, Lord, to realize that You're not a God far away, but, Lord, You're a God very near, right near them, even within us, Lord, that are saved. And if there's someone here unsaved, Lord, help them to realize that You're not far away, You're near to them. And, Father, all they have to do is call upon Your name, trust You this morning. And I pray that You would help them to do that, Lord, if that's someone's need. But thank You for this time together. Thank You for the preacher and his ministry. I pray for him and his wife, Lord, as they go on to the meeting in Rochester. May You help them and guide them and use them there, Lord. Bless the ministry of Your word there. And, Father, we pray again for those that are leaving today and tomorrow. Lord, please be merciful. Help us, Lord. Father, the political conditions in both places, Lord, are not the best. But, Father, we know that safety is of the Lord. Our confidence is not in men and in governments. But, Lord, we know that You are our strength and our refuge and our strong tower. And Lord, we trust You, but we pray You'll go with us and guide us and help us and use us, Lord. And we pray we could be a blessing. Give us each one a servant's heart, Lord, and keep and bless our church, Lord, in our absence. We thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I need to see all the deacons here briefly. Men, please come right away, and we'll do this quickly. God bless you. We're dismissed.